I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Nearly 600 suspected illegal immigrants were detained this week in Mississippi. They were caught during a raid on a manufacturing plant. Most of them are now in a detention facility. But about 100 immigrants were released because they have children here in the U.S. The children of immigrants are often caught between two worlds, the one their family left behind and the one they're growing up in. Liz Jones of station KUOW in Seattle met two teenagers whose lives are divided between Mexico and the United States.
My name is Cesar, and I'm from Quinceo, Michoacán.
Cesar and his family made the journey north when he was 9 years old.
It was all of a sudden that my mom told me, we're going to the United States. It's for your future. You're going to have a better life.
Until then, the only home Cesar had known was his village of Quinceo in the remote hills of central Mexico. When his family moved to Seattle, he quickly learned to juggle three languages, English at school, Spanish in the neighborhood, and at home his native dialect of Purépecha, or Tarasco as some call it. Now, 5 years later, Cesar's 14, a young teenager with spiky hair and, of course, an iPod. It's clear the time in Seattle has jostled his language skills and his cultural identity.
I used to talk Tarasco, now I don't. In Spanish, sometimes I forget too. It's not about the language, but like I feel like I'm part of this country now, and I feel I'm part of Mexico too.
One thing Cesar likes about American life is the internet. At home, he's often sandwiched in a corner of the living room on the family computer. I tell him to Google the word Seattle Purépecha.
Oh yeah, that second link there.
This one?
Yeah.
I was there. Wow, I'm videoing it. So you heard it?
Uh-huh.
The video shows a parade of Purépecha dancers in Seattle.
So you were in this one?
Yeah, I'm in front.
The dancers shuffle down the street in wood sandals, white peasant costumes, and painted masks. It's a rare scene in Seattle, but common during celebrations in Cesar's childhood village in Quinceo, Mexico. Like this one. Here in Mexico, 3,000 miles away, a different teen with a different story is celebrating. Miguel Salmarón is 17 years old. He used to live in the apartment across from Cesar in South Seattle. But he's come back to Quinceo and brought with him city ways and gang connections. On this night, the town plaza is jam-packed with hundreds of people in traditional costumes and masks. Then there's Miguel. He's wearing a blue bandana across his forehead and jeans so oversized he has to lift them up like a skirt when he walks. He mixes with the crowd, but hardly blends in. The next day, I visit Miguel at home. He tells me his parents sent him back here because he was being bad and got kicked out of school for fighting.
I've been bad over there. Well, I was get like suspended because there were like too many fights. Yeah, so then I got kicked out.
But the final straw was when Miguel was shot at by a rival gang member in the parking lot outside his apartment. That's when his dad decided to buy him a plane ticket back to Mexico. As we walk outside, he half-heartedly says he's not really part of the gang anymore. He's got new plans, like getting married.
After 3 years, I get married, or sooner. And then we'll go back to the States and then start working and saving money.
Here, Miguel works in carpentry with his grandfather. Eventually, when he needs more money, he'll head back north. He sees his future as a part-time citizen of two countries, moving back and forth across the border, like his parents, who are still back in Seattle. Miguel's making a video for them and brought along his camera.
What are you filming right now?
The Cerro. El Cerro del Águila.
Cerro del Águila, or the Eagle's Hill, towers behind Quinceo. It's a spot I first heard about from Cesar, the teen we met earlier in Seattle. I head up the hill later to meet Isidrio, the grandfather who helped raise Cesar here in Quinceo.
Qué bonito, mira.
He's up on Cerro del Águila farming wheat.
Mira. Igual como que va la bola.
Look how it goes. Just like a wave, look.
Isidrio loved to bring Cesar here. He remembers one of the last times they came, when Cesar was about 7 or 8.
Y me decía, tata, tú te descansas. Yo voy a juntar la leña.
He said to me, Papa, you rest. I'll gather the firewood.
Este veo yo que él juntaba leña y no se me olvida.
And I can still see him gathering the wood. I'll never forget that.
As he relives these memories, Isidrio's heart seems to break. His head hangs down, and he quietly cries for his grandson. Back in Seattle, Cesar is homesick for his grandfather, too. He understands his parents brought him here for his education and a better future, but sometimes he thinks it would have been easier to grow up in Quinceo.
Sometimes I feel I'm just, like, going through too much. I feel like when I grow up, it's going to kind of affect me, like immigration and all that. Sometimes I can't even go, like, to my friend's party because my parents are scared that something will happen to me.
Despite the sacrifices, Cesar's glad his family came to the U.S. He wants to finish high school here, then go to college in Mexico, in one of the big cities. At that point, he'll be 18 years old. He'll have spent exactly half his life here and half there. And that's where he says home is, on both sides of the border. For The World, I'm Liz Jones in Seattle.
That story is part of a series reported by Liz Jones. The series is called A Village Away from Home. We have a link to those stories at theworld.org.